scump prasa.
That's our intro.
Hello everyone and welcome to Bioscope Brasa. This is a show with two Brasa talk movie news, reviews, shorts, and some cack in between. My name is Ross.
And I'm Jody.
We second week of our comeback tour.
Yeah. Is it officially season two at this point?
Probably. I mean, we don't really do seasons, but if we had to, I mean,
this would have been our season break.
I'm weird, yo. But we're back now, so you guys can relax.
Like your favorite STI. Never left.
Yeah, not in this one. He's talking about your genitals. Yeah, keep them in your pants, guys. Or don't. I'm not your mother. Fuck who you want to fuck.
Yeah, but wrap it up.
Well, yeah, just be safe.
Yeah.
On that note... let's get into the news.
News and shorts.
Bruce Willis.
Sure.
The legend.
Yes.
I mean, his career has been amazing and then not so amazing.
Yes.
Like,
we have a very special place in our heart for Bruce.
Yeah, Bruce is like, yo, that say what you want, bruh, but he's made some of the best films of all time.
Iconic.
Iconic. And now, towards the end of his career, shame.
Not so iconic.
Not so iconic. It's money grabs and him being in the film for 15 minutes and they just pluck him on the poster.
Also, somehow he made something like 7 movies in 2021.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How?
But literally, like a combined screen time of like half an hour.
So. Yeah. It's insane.
But now we kind of know why.
Yes.
So, his estate has announced that he will be retiring from acting because of his aphasia diagnosis.
Yes.
So aphasia, for those who don't know, Jody.
Yeah, it's a disease that mainly affects how you're able to communicate with people. Yeah. I don't know the real details of, I mean...
Well, it's understanding and then verbalizing communication. So you have issue with that.
Which is obviously integral to him fulfilling out his the work that he does as an actor.
Yeah, I mean, but up until this point, he's been diehard. So
literally just been cupping out.
And yeah, it's fucking sad, man. You don't want to see like your icons like you know, they always say it's better to, you know, go up in flames than fade away.
Yes.
And you don't want to see your icons kind of fade away, but this is where we're at.
Which it feels like we've been seeing with Bruce. I mean, the quality of the films that he's been putting out.
Not great.
It's not been great. And I mean, there's been a lot of back and forth in the media now because there's the Razzie-related things. There are like actors and directors rescinding their opinions that they had of Bruce based on this diagnosis, which I find kind of like... kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean, if you're an asshole in life,
then you're an asshole.
You can't just forgive someone because they got cancer or something.
The like, diagnosis doesn't change.
Now you're just an asshole with cancer.
So I found that. I was talking to Jen and I'm like, you know, Kevin Smith, who very publicly used to trash Bruce Willis because of what he did on the Cop Out film.
Yeah.
Was he's now said like he feels so shit about saying that Bruce was an asshole on that. And I'm like,
yeah, he was an asshole.
If Bruce was an asshole in 2010, then he was an asshole.
Yeah.
This doesn't change that.
This would actually be the perfect time to make amends because he can't, like, he wouldn't be able to verbally be an asshole.
He just has to go with it.
No, that's mean. But yeah, you don't want to see your icons fade away. But in the same breath, you're 100% correct. You can't just, you know, whitewash the history of them being a difficult person and so on.
So, linked to this is the whole Razzie debacle.
I don't know what you mean. So enlighten me. I'm excited now.
The Razzies came up with a category of awards called the Worst Bruce Willis Film of 2021. Which they were sticking to despite the diagnosis.
Yeah.
Then the guys who, the people who actually created the Razzies and who ran the show.
Yeah.
They like really stuck to their guns and came out and said, well, we only found out about the diagnosis when everyone else did.
Yeah.
We didn't intend this to be a repeat award going forward. And like, fuck you guys, man. Like, why are you trying to tell us we shouldn't do this award?
Yeah.
which they have since taken back and decided they're not going to go with.
Whack.
Which I was like, okay, but I see some of what they were saying, because their point also in the statement was, why was Bruce's publicist still signing him up for movies despite what was going on with his health?
Because the publicist knows they only got so much time to make that bulk money. Yeah.
Because this, like we said now, he was in 6 or 7 movies last year.
Yeah.
In 2021.
And he gets like $2 million a pop for that.
Yeah, show. Just for appearing.
Yeah.
Oh, so, yeah, there was like quite a lot of...
Anyone who had hopes of the final Die Hard movie, totally gone.
The fact that Jai Courtney piece of shit Die Hard movie is the last Die Hard movie we're ever going to get.
That's the saddest thing.
I'm just going to end on part 4. Yeah, like
me too.
I
Part 4 wasn't the best, but it was decent.
But it was decent. Yeah, Timothy 100%. Oliphant, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, yeah, Justin Long. Yeah. And Bruce, that
some
was
crazy
fine.
Action in there. Yeah. I mean, he does become a superhero, but still decent.
Part 5 is...
Didn't happen.
Yo.
Yeah, I went to the fucking cinema for that cocky.
Damn, son.
Anyway, Bruce Willis, RIP. I mean...
Your acting career.
To your speech. You cocky, dude.
We wish you all of the best.
Oh, yeah. James Carey. Also fucking possibly. Jimothy Carrison. Jim Carrey is also possibly retiring.
Yeah, man. This dude is... He's been a bit weird the last few years.
Nah, I think he's just fucking over the whole thing, the circus.
He is. I watched a round table with him, one of those actors' round tables, and you could hear this guy's like, he's past what people think of him in Hollywood.
Nah, bro, he's just like, fucking, all of this is bullshit.
Yeah. So he's come out
and said I didn't know he was before Sonic.
Yeah.
What was he in?
He didn't do much for the longest time. The last song would have been Kick-Ass 2, I think.
Yeah, which
and then
he
there was
regretted,
that series that he did on Apple or something.
Kidding.
Yes.
And then it was Sonic and Sonic 2, which is getting good buzz, by the way.
Really?
Sonic 2. Yeah.
That's weird.
I like it. I like those fun fucking...
I know, but it's just that a lot of, video game adaptations.
Yeah, video game. But Sonic was all right. Mm. Once they fixed the fucking design, then it was all right. But, and Jim Carrey was good in it.
Yeah.
So I get it. I mean, I personally think that he's also tired of like that. Yay, I'm Jim Carrey. That's tiring.
Yeah. Also, the expectation that people have that is him.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, this guy has done some of the best acting that we've seen.
Yeah.
Truman Show, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Yeah.
Cable
Guy. just kidding. Ooh. Just
don't
kidding.
You want somebody to love? Don't you need somebody?
Yo, what the fucking cock movie?
What a bad movie that was.
But I will say my favorite interview with him is the one on the red carpet where this woman is trying to do, the E-Hollywood thing. And she's like, oh, Jim Carrey, like what brings you here? And he's like, I don't know. I just thought, what could be the most pointless event that I could ever come to? And I'm like, oh, this is it. And the woman didn't know what to say.
Man, I love when actors are just like, I honestly don't give a fuck. Like, this is not as serious as you think.
Yeah, and that's literally what he said. He's just like, this is all an illusion. It's nothing. It's a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah.
And she didn't know what to say. She's been she's like programmed to be like Hollywood.
And people keep certain responses.
Oh, man. Look it up if you can. It's fucking amazing. So I get it. He's over it, Jody.
He is. So done.
And we thank you for your service, sir.
We do. Bruce deserves... I mean, Jim Carrey deserves an Oscar for the stuff that he's done. I feel like Truman Show...
Yeah.
That movie is like... It's still used now as the perfect example of a movie when you like with teachers teaching English, like techniques and stuff like that. He deserved an Oscar for something that he's done. So I would have hoped.
But now
he would
it's going to get one of those
lifetime achievement.
Oh, yeah.
Samuel L. Jackson was got these also, which was overshadowed.
Oh man, we didn't even talk about that in the last episode.
That was overshadowed.
Shit.
As well.
I'm sorry, we should have discussed that.
His lifetime achievement.
Yeah, Oscar. Samuel L. Jackson, fucking amazing.
Yeah.
It's about time. Highest grossing actor of all. Is he still?
He's damn close if he's not number one.
Yeah. But I will say that Abby has a weird sense of humor sometimes. So it's it's always hard to pinpoint what's funny to her and stuff. Like, we'll sit here and we'll watch something and I will pass memory and then I'll look at her and it's fuck.
She's dead serious, yeah.
But Jim Carrey in Ace Ventura and The Mask is her shit, man.
Do you know what was mind-boggling to me? I think it's those two and possibly even Dumb and Dumber. They all came out in the same year.
That was when he was climbing, like he was soaring.
Can you think how... Yeah, like right. The level he was at to that bring shot out him those into the fucking stratosphere. Yeah.
But yeah, we thank you for your service.
We do.
The Crow. Oh, wait. If you're like a 90s person, you know The Crow, bro. You know, like, that movie blew me away. Just the way it looked and felt and everything. And R.I.P. Brandon Lee.
The achievement of completing that movie.
Some people say it wouldn't have been so good if he didn't pass away. I've heard that take before.
That's bullshit.
I also say
that's bullshit. That movie stands on its own without these. Oh, yeah. The story of his
it's still
death.
That good. I love the soundtrack.
It might add to the mystique, but no, man.
Everything. But for some reason, Hollywood wants to fucking do a remake.
Of course. Because it's much easier to just jump off the success of something
and
else.
And then with the remake, they announced that, prior to this, there were rumors going ahead that they were going to cast the biggest man on the planet, Jason Momoa.
Yes, he was very keen to do this project.
Yeah, he was. But I personally felt he's too big just because of how the character comes to be. You know, it's an unassuming musician and whatever. And then he gets this power, whereas Jason Momoa looks like he can crush your skull.
Yeah, I mean, he would almost have to be the villain in the movie instead of like the actual.
What is the like the vulture? Who's the villain of a crow? An eagle.
Yeah, hawks.
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 The hawks, right? Yeah. The South African hawks.
Yeah.
Corruption is the true enemy.
Anyway.
But now there's been another update.
There finally is casting updates as well as directing updates, which I'm not so excited about. But Bill Skarsgård, who played It in the It movies and also...
Pennywise.
Yeah, I played Pennywise in the It movies. And also he was in Deadpool 2 as the guy who throws up acid.
Oh, yes.
He has been cast as the lead character for the new Crow. As the Crow
are they doing the Eric Draven?
I think so.
Okay.
It seems, judging from all the promotional material attached to the news at the moment, that they're doing that storyline.
Yeah.
Not so excited about the director who's been chosen for this film, Rupert Sanders. Rather do Human Centipede 5. the guy that directed Snow White and the Huntsman and Ghost in the Shell is the director attached
okay.
to this project.
Snow White and the Huntsman was okay.
Not terrible, but not...
Yeah, not fantastic. And
Ghost,
then,
in, the Shell Ghost was in the Shell was one of the best cases of whitewashing we've ever seen.
Yeah, but to be fair, like, Abby's cousin is a huge fan of that.
The anime. See,
and he quite enjoyed the film. Yeah.
Okay.
Which is quite rare, because anime fans are hard to
please. Very, very fickle, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, I guess we need to give Rupert a chance then.
Yeah, but how? So, this is my thing with The Crow, right? That first movie, obviously people are going to compare it.
You have to.
And it's timeless, but also very of its time.
Yeah.
Like, it's a capsule that you can watch at any time, but it's like the grunge, the dark, the fashion, the music, like all of it.
It all comes together.
So, how are you going to create a contemporary version or someone? You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're going to try and they're going to force in metaphors. And it's like you said, that movie was an encapsulation of that moment in time. And it was a perfect representation of that.
Yeah.
Also, you had the rising star that was Brandon Lee.
Mm.
There is that mythos of it being his last film, all that stuff. So, I don't think it comes together again for a reboot. But, you know, maybe we've proven wrong.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, that's unlikely. Whatever. Who cares now? Just get it over with. Speaking of getting it over with, Aliens 5. Alien 5.
Yes.
Alien 5 is happening.
It is. With an exciting director actually attached to this film, Fede Alvarez.
Fede!
Yeah, he directed the remake of... what's that movie's name now?
The one with the people starring in.
The one with the in the cabin, man.
Cabin in the Woods.
That
Cabin Fever
is based on. I'll tell you now.
Cabin of Love.
with Ash.
Cabin Time. Dead.
Yes.
Fuck it. It's on the tip of my fucking tongue.
Evil Dead.
Evil Dead.
And he did Don't Breathe.
We got there.
Also.
We got there. I love Don't Breathe.
Yes.
I do not love Don't Breathe too.
No. But don't try and redeem a rapist, man.
A murdering rapist. Okay, so he's doing this.
So Fede Alvarez is this
one of those, what is that one thing you call it?
Requel.
Yes.
I guess. Okay. I mean, fuck, Ridley Scott is also, he's producing this.
Oh, God.
I don't know where they're going with the storyline, because we all know how shit Alien 3 was, and then they still continued on with, like, Resurrection.
What are your thoughts on the Prometheus films?
I like the second one more than the first one. The first one was, like, trying to answer way too many questions, and then the second one was interesting, but also I expected more from Ridley Scott coming back to the franchise.
Mm.
And I feel like the connections to the original Aliens was tenuous at best, so
I thought they were very unnecessary.
I feel like Charlize Theron also just needed to run sideways.
Everyone does. Everyone does. What are you doing?
But the thing can't turn.
No, Prometheus was a giant waste of time for me.
Yeah.
It was unnecessary.
Yeah.
And
Love Fassbender.
Still,
robotic Fassbender
still doesn't
was,
make it worse.
It doesn't make up for it. I'm just saying, love robotic Fassbender.
So I want him to go back, but new.
Yes.
If you know what I mean.
Yes, yeah. A requel.
Yeah.
So I honestly don't know what their plan is here. So I guess they are probably, because Neil Blomkamp wanted to do the...
Yes, for the longest, for like 10 years.
Yeah, he storyboarded like doing Aliens 5 that... Ignored,
in South Africa.
Yeah, that ignored. It's a subtle District 10. But it was going to ignore 3 and 4 completely and just carry on the story of Newt and Michael Bain.
Which is, character. I feel like, what you should do.
Yes, that is the place to go back.
So
to.
You don't know if this is that?
I don't know if this is that. I don't think there's much story stuff, but with Fady being attached to it, maybe there's hope.
Yes, there's so many sequels, bro.
You know that's the only thing Hollywood can do.
Fucking hell, because now there's a Beetlejuice 2 that is possibly happening.
Possibly, Michael Keaton and Winona Ryder are being attached to it. Why? Alec Baldwin, his name not being thrown in the hat for this one.
No, I think they're worried about the murder.
Maybe.
I mean, I don't want to speak for anybody.
Yeah.
I have a strong suspicion.
They're but concerned.
The cool thing about this is that the Beetlejuice makeup is, they can make it look like he hasn't aged.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He would look precisely the same. Yeah. He just goes back into that same makeup with the same hair.
Funnily enough, a lot of people don't realize that he's only in the movie for like 15 minutes.
He steals
the show. And he ad-libbed most of his lines as well. He was really good, man.
That's
like,
amazing.
People sleep on Michael Keaton's talent, man.
They really do.
And
another person who doesn't get the recognition he deserves.
Where? He didn't win for Birdman, eh?
No, he should have.
Son of a bitch. Anyway, Beetlejuice 2 with Winona Ryder. I don't even know. Where do they go?
I don't think it needs a sequel. It's one of those movies that stands on its own. Why are you trying to franchise it?
I will say this, though. If they do it, I want practical only and claymation.
Yes.
That's it.
The worms have CGI. To be clay.
No CGI whatsoever. If we go in there, we go in
there. We go full on.
I want clay, worms, and full on practical.
I am down.
I wear. So let's do that. So Bill Murray was in conversation with someone, and he spoke about Ivan Reitman's failed Batman movie.
This is like, it's kind of insane,
eh?
I mean, if people don't know, Ivan Reitman, who recently passed away, he was the director of some of the best comedies of all time.
Ghostbusters.
And, yeah, both Ghostbusters. Mm. What, Caddyshack, all that shit.
Caddyshack, which some people don't get.
I don't know if he directed Caddyshack.
Oh, I don't know. Let's not say that.
But in any case, he's
redacted.
Iconic. And he was basically given the money to do Batman.
Weird.
And he wanted to cast Bill Murray as Batman.
Yeah.
And just out of like nowhere, Eddie Murphy as Robin. So Bill Murray like tells the story in this interview about him and Eddie were both huge at that point in time.
I mean,
Eddie in the 80s was fucking
Yeah,
you didn't get bigger.
Yeah.
And Eddie refused to be the sideshow. Essentially, they both
wanted... He wanted to be Batman.
Yeah, they both wanted to be the star of this movie, and they couldn't make it work. So, it was like, we're just not doing it.
What are you going to do with Eddie fucking Murphy?
Exactly.
How can you expect Eddie Murphy to play second fiddle at the height of his career?
The boy wonder.
Come on. Like, he's not going to be boy wonder to fucking nobody.
Exactly. I don't feel like I missed out on anything here.
What would the angle even be?
I have no idea.
It's like, it would be more like probably the TV show.
Yes, it would have been more like the Adam West version.
Yeah.
This is before Michael Keaton's Batman, yeah. So... there wasn't even an inclination to do a much darker, brooding Batman, but I just don't know.
I feel like this would have fucking done even more damage to the whole... Like, yeah. There's the dark spots in the Batman mythos in terms of the cinema. I think this would have been one of those spots.
I don't even think on paper this idea works in any shape or form.
I mean, Eddie Murphy's great. Don't get me wrong. Bill Murray as well. Yeah, what the fuck are you thinking? Anyway, glad that didn't happen. Todd McFarlane. Yes, this brother's going to squeeze as much as he can out of this character, hey. The creator of Spawn.
I like the resignation in your voice. Yeah,
just go away now, man. Spawn. So Spawn was created in the 90s, I think. And it was a cool character. I remember reading comics back in the 90s because everything was so edgy. And Image Comics was so edgy. And then they created this...
So many chains.
Burn victim who became like a demon for the fucking Violator and the devil and all this fucking chains and cloaks and blood and shit. And I was like eating it up. And it was dope back in the day.
It was.
But now I'm like, okay, they had that terrible movie with John Leguizamo and Michael Jai White.
Shame, man. That movie, given its props, for a lot of practical effects and stuff, it hasn't aged as badly.
Final scene.
Okay, that. But I'm saying for the most part.
It looks like PS1 graphics. It was most cack. And then we're like, oh shit, okay, you tried. And then after that movie, Todd McFarlane has not stopped trying to make another film.
Yeah, his version of an R-rated Spawn movie, which according to him is now getting hot and heavy and is really like...
They had a decent animated show. I think a couple years ago, which was cool. They had a decent Spawn show, and then the comics are still fucking going.
Yeah.
So it's like, I get it, but like, why? Why?
He wants some of that sweet movie franchise money.
I get it, but like, who is looking for this is my question.
Todd. Todd McFarlane. According to him, the fans are clamoring for this movie. And he's also linking it to like the idea that Venom, who's like an anti-hero now, came out and it worked and people like that weird shit. So Spawn will fit right into that. But I'm thinking, did you watch Venom? Because the version of Venom that was brought to life by Tom Hardy, kak funny as that is not like a dark anti-hero like what he's talking about trying to do with Spawn. It's not the same thing.
No, it's not. I don't think you should do anything based on the success of Venom.
No, because that is like, it really shouldn't work.
No.
It really shouldn't be working.
I mean, it would be cool to see, I guess. But still, you know what, Todd? Just give up. You're one of the people that must give up. Just you fucking rich, hold your back, and just carry on with your life. Yeah. Leave Spawn now in the comic book realm and in the 90s where it belongs.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
I'm weird. Okay, we're going to quick fire these last fucking shits, yeah. Okay? This is the quick fire news round. Quick sticks in the mix. David Kushner was charged with DUI hit and run.
Yeah, if people don't know him, he's Todd Packer in The Office. He was the news guy in Anchorman.
This is taking his character too seriously.
Way too seriously.
Because I feel like this is something he could have done in either of those franchises.
He looks like he's basically embodying.
He was probably wearing a cowboy hat.
He was. With that face.
Yeah. So this is, when art imitates, they say art imitates life. I think this is life imitating art.
Very much so. And he's a dwarf. If the stuff that they put in this report is true, and it's a hit and run and DUI. Come on, man. Yeah. Be better.
Never meet your heroes. Story number two. ScarJo and Chris Evans to star in new Apple film. Is this a film about apples or is it from Apple Studios?
It's Newton's life story. So
the origin of Golden Delicious.
I didn't know that Coda was a full Apple film, but apparently that's the first streaming service.
I know, and how upset must Netflix be that Apple is one of the first streaming.
So Coda was the first streamer to actually win Best Picture. And Apple now obviously is thinking they are the shit. It's a movie about the space race. And it's directed by Jason Bateman, who...
No, isn't... Lightyear is coming out already.
Also with Evans.
Yeah, that's the joke.
So Jason Bateman from Ozark fame and Arrested Development, that shit, is directing this movie.
He directed a few episodes of Ozark, which is a great show. Yes. I'm for this. Fucking slutted.
Yeah, Tyler.
Next story. Keke Palmer is joining new Aziz Ansari project.
Yeah, Aziz was like cancelled for some time.
Yeah, but his cancelling was harsh, I think.
It was one of those.
If you get context of the whole
exactly thing. Exactly, when the Me Too movement started and then they needed to...
Yeah, he was cancelled for just giving women bad consensual sex.
So, yeah. So, Aziz... He stepped away from Master of None for the second, was it the third season?
I don't know. I didn't finish it.
So the actor who played his best friend, they focused on that person instead of Aziz for the third season of Master of None, which I haven't watched yet, even though I love that show. And I think he did a lot of directing and stuff there, and he's also directing this movie.
This is supposed to be Quickfire.
And yes. I am the problem.
So you are 100% the problem. So I love Keke Palmer. I think she's great in anything she does. And she's going to be in Nope. So we'll see how that goes. Aziz Ansari, I'm not so excited to see, I guess.
I like him as a director, so I think I have some hope for this.
All right, so it's a hope and a prayer. Next fucking quickfire story. Taron Egerton collapses on stage.
But he's okay now.
Yes, he said he is embarrassed and his ego is bruised, but he is okay. Yes.
He also got COVID afterwards.
Oh, that is... This is like a... Talk about timing.
Chufa. But yes, Taron's okay.
Yeah, it could be drug use. Let's speculate.
And on that note, let's go on to our last one.
Eddie Murphy to star in George Clinton biopic. I'm excited for this.
Man, I hope Eddie finally gets his recognition, man.
Fucking, what was the last one?
Dolomite.
Dolomite is my name.
We ignore Coming to America.
Yeah. Dolomite is my name is such a great film.
Go see it on Netflix. If you
and he could be the next Will Smith. like the biopic thing?
Okay, I thought you meant...
No, he also is going to slap Chris Rock. Look, one of Charlie Murphy's favorite... when he slapped Charlie... When Rick James slapped Charlie Murphy. Fucking... What did the five fingers say to the face? Slap! Genius. But George Clinton, I can't even imagine what that story
is going to
look like.
That guy is the godfather
of funk, soul, disco, right? Because George, to the roof of the mall, to the roof of the mall, to the roof of. Do you know that song?
If I didn't,
I can't even get to it now because this is the quickfire round.
Yeah. But anyway, we're excited.
Happy and excited.
It's time for a review.
So our movie for this week is called The Bubble. We have to get away
recently,
movie.
Yeah, recently released on Netflix.
Yes, this movie is directed by Judd Apatow, who's like fucking comedy legend director.
He made some of your favorite comedies.
Exactly. Yeah. So sneaking out, hooking up, melting down, the cast and crew of a blockbuster action franchise attempt to shoot a sequel while quarantining at a posh hotel. This movie stars Karen Gillan, Iris Apatow, Fred Armisen, Maria Bakalova, David Duchovny, Keegan-Michael Key, Leslie Mann, Kate McKinnon, Pedro Pascal, Guz Khan, and Peter Serafinovich.
Sorry, I turned into DMX there. R.I.P. DMX.
Man.
Looking at the cast alone, you were like, this is comedy gold. Turns out it's gold-plated.
So... Yo, this movie did The marketing for this movie was very interesting.
It was very good.
Yes, they did the whole Cliff B6 was coming out on Netflix, and everyone was like, where the fuck are the first
one,
five?
1, 2, 5, yeah, because they're in quarantine, but they all meet to film the sixth film in a franchise.
Yes.
And they just released the trailer for the franchise, and I'm like, this is fucking crazy. What is this?
Yeah.
So it was dope, though, because I was like, yeah, let's go into the sixth film. Let's start the franchise.
Let's just start
with the sixth film.
Yes. I was so down.
Why has no one done that before?
I was so down for this. The implied 1 to 5.
It would be fucking amazing.
So, obviously very Tropic Thunder-esque in terms of the idea of this movie. You know, filming people, filming a film, a blockbuster film.
Meta vibes.
Very meta
vibes. I see kind of, where they were going. Okay, let's talk about the performances of everyone.
Yeah. Jeez, with such a cast, you would really expect, like gangbusters.
You would. One of my favorite performances are the people that are not known.
Yes, they are the best performances.
They are the best part of this film.
The head safety officer
and the other guy who just does everything.
Is that Peter Serafinovich?
No, Peter Serafinovich. Fuck!
Serafinovich.
Peter Serafinovich starring Whoopi Goldberg is, he's the producer guy.
I love him.
He's a legend.
I love him.
He's
a legend.
He's good in everything. Yes. In British movies and in American films. He's amazing.
Downton Abbey.
Yeah, Downton Abbey. So he is amazing. But it's the other two. The black guy who is like the concierge. He does the massage and the yoga, everything.
Yes.
And then there's another guy who's the health officer. The two of them absolutely steal every scene.
They do. It's Samson Keo is the first guy you're talking
Thank
about.
Thank you, Jody. Samson Keo.
Chris Wataski.
Yes. The two of you deserve I would watch show.
No, sorry.
Sorry, no.
No. Gunther is played by Harry Trevaldwin.
Oh, God. Harry Trevaldwin. Jody fucked up there. I'm sorry, Harry. I would watch a TV show with the two of you.
I almost feel like the movie should have just focused on them. No. Instead, it would have been much more interesting.
I like, okay, if you think about it, like, if you focus on the people who are actually servicing these movie stars who are now going crazy.
Yeah.
That would have been quite interesting.
As a focus.
Yeah.
They kind of allude to it. Look, this movie has a lot of issues in that sense.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they really knew what they wanted to focus on.
No.
Because it's the premise is that this is one of the first movies being shot during COVID.
Yeah.
So it's a throwback to like the first couple of months of COVID.
Where you must quarantine for 2 weeks.
We only going to be in lockdown for 3 weeks, the case was. And you quarantine for 2 weeks. They're talking about, you know, all the health and safety stuff where we didn't really know what we needed to do. So people were going overboard and whatnot. Yeah. It's a throwback to that, but it loses any sense of humor really very quickly.
Like, I think it's unfocused is the best way to describe it. There's no
unfocused.
I 100% agree with you. I feel like there's moments where you feel like, okay, the movie could be moving in this direction, but then
and then it pivots,
it goes somewhere else,
totally pivots away from that. I think, look, Karen Gillan is supposed to be our protagonist in this film,
but no one is a good person.
No one's a good person. Her
Which I
character,
think is part of what they're trying to portray.
Well, yeah, but it's also to for no purpose, really. Like, there's no moral story about, like, being a shitty person as an actor is going to cause this.
Yeah, or it's, that, like, no one wants to feel bad for rich people.
Yes.
You know, that angle is alluded to, but never...
Nothing's
they
explored.
Don't fully commit
no.
to it.
So, her character as the protagonist is someone who's returning to the franchise having decided not to do part 5. And also, like, the tone deaf of Jerusalem Rising. What the fuck is the point of
that? Was funny, though. Yo. So, the movie that she now decided to abandon them for is a sci-fi thriller where she plays half Palestinian, half Jewish Israeli. Person.
Yeah, half Jewish.
In the conflict area, and then there's aliens that invade.
So she brings everyone together by having them battle their common enemy.
What's the movie called again?
Jerusalem Rising. Yeah.
That was kind of funny.
The laugh that you're giving now is much bigger than the laugh I had during the actual movie, watching it.
Get to the biggest laugh that I had during the film. There were a few laughs. I'll give you this. There were a few laughs, but it was for those two supporting cast members, the health officer and the other guy. I laugh for the two of them.
My biggest laugh, I'll tell you in the
end. Yeah. I felt also like a lot of it was ad-libbed.
Too much, maybe.
Yeah. I know these people are talented and stuff, but when you... There's a difference between like having a script outline and let people riff as opposed to like, okay, you have your script and then let the actors kind of do what they want in certain takes and then you choose the best out
and,
of that.
And I think this is so actor dependent because you can have brilliant actors who can't riff actually.
Yeah.
And you can have certain other actors who are all riff. And in this case, I just feel like the guys that we keep coming back to, Samson Keo and Harry Trefeldman, they could riff maybe.
Yeah.
Like they are the ones who can do it. And maybe Keegan-Michael Key as well, because I mean, he's got the whole improv background. But not many other people can.
Yeah, no.
And it just falls flat.
It's actually quite an interesting movie to watch because it's... I see what you were going for. But
I just don't think it hits the mark.
Even the performances were like they're meant to be over the top, but like to what end?
Yeah.
Nothing. Why? There's no satisfying conclusion even, because you could see the conclusion coming from a mile away.
So can I quickly hit you with some of the things that Judd Apatow's done, right?
Yeah.
We alluded to the fact that he's probably done some of your favorite comedies. 40-Year-Old Virgin, Knocked Up, This Is 40, Funny People. King of Staten Island recently, and Trainwreck.
Trainwreck was
John
good,
Cena. I mean, yeah. LeBron, sorry. Yeah. In Trainwreck is amazing. But then he's also been involved with Freaks and Geeks and Girls and Love and Crashing. So this guy is iconic as a director. I feel like there's a type of comedy that I think of when I think of his films.
Yeah.
Do you see any of that in this movie?
No.
And this is my issue with some of these Netflix and other streaming service productions.
Yeah, you go hating on Netflix again. Yeah, Jody goes again.
I get that sponsorship. But I feel like directors, when they come and work with them, lose their identity. That these movies all become this generic, like very polished, but just there's no life to it. There's no soul to this movie at all.
Yeah.
I see none of Judd Apatow in this film.
I see moments of it. But they're too few and
far between.
Yeah, 100%. But there are definitely moments. It's just like, why?
Yeah. Keep coming back to that.
Yeah. So I watched the Hot Ones episode of Leslie Mann.
Who I love.
Yeah. And she is good. She's good in this too. Like, to an extent.
Yeah. It's like
she plays crazy really well.
She does. But
even David Duchovny, Shamey seemed tired.
Everything about him was just like, I'm here, but I'm not.
And there was
do
some,
my version.
Yeah. There was some Californication in there.
But so little.
Yeah, so little. He seemed very tired in the film.
Just not less. Keegan-Michael Key is doing his thing, but I feel like he can't... Like, he's trying to do too much to lift up a script that... There's no energy in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, David Duchovny is low energy. This whole movie is low energy.
There's also things that are sort of set up that don't amount to anything.
No, nothing. Pedro, speaking of lack of amounting to anything, Pedro Pascal, like, what is he doing?
Yeah,
I feel like
weird...
he's bringing the memes of him to life in this movie. Because, you know, they always show these memes of him with his, like, crazy hair and the faces he pulls.
Yeah.
In like Zoom,
but
style.
Then wanting to fall, the sleeping with the lady,
Maria Bakalova,
sex with her,
yes.
Yeah, and then her being in love with him, like,
why,
yeah, it's so fucking weird.
But that's brought up in the beginning, right? He approaches her, he's like, "You want to have sex with me?" Which is apparently his character's thing in this movie,
yeah.
And then she says he needs to go talk to her father, blah,
but she's in love with him prior to this,
but then that story just fizzles for a good 40 minutes and nothing happens,
yeah, Foco.
There's so much of
very
that.
Strange.
So
the more I think about this movie, the more I'm like perplexed as to how
what the intention was,
how it got signed off.
Netflix and their money, which I still think is, I think they are front
but
for something.
It's Judd Apatow, man. It's Judd Apatow, bro.
He's there for the money, bro.
So I was talking about Leslie Mann. She said that they had, when they started like writing the movie and stuff, the idea actually came from like friends who were actually filming in COVID conditions and stories that would come from them.
Which, that sounds interesting.
Yeah. But then you put it together in this way. It's like that's what inspired the film. So why not actually?
Why not just capture any of that?
Yeah.
It's not that none of what you've just said feels like it's actually captured. And also, I mean, you have to do the comparison of this and Tropic Thunder because it's essentially the same idea that the making of the movie becomes the interesting part. And there's almost no comparison.
No, it's just like it seems like it's made by like a comedy like sketch troupe where just like,
and they just riffing yes nonstop.
And, yes and yes and
they just the keep going. Time.
Yeah, it's fucking madness. But I will say, so Iris Apatow is in the film as Judd's youngest daughter, I think.
She's
100%. But she was quite good. She's a TikTok star. Yeah, she was quite good. I must say.
How much money do you think TikTok paid them to do those full TikTok videos?
No, I just think TikTok is such a huge part of pop culture now that they can't avoid it.
But dude,
so it's like YouTube. It's the same thing when they used to do YouTube videos.
Yeah,
like this is
that just didn't make sense.
TikTok is the new like YouTube movie reference.
So in this, the first TikTok shot that they show, right, is everyone doing the dance thing with her, and it's supposed to be during rehearsals.
Yeah,
what was the fucking point of that?
No idea. And everybody doesn't. Yeah, not every. It didn't even seem like everyone understood what TikTok star was. Like the only reason she was there is because she's now a TikTok star and famous. TikTok. So why would the other actors agree to even be in the dance and stuff?
Exactly.
Like logically, that doesn't make sense.
But the TikTok label is huge. There, the little.
Should we go into spoilers?
What is there not to spoil?
No, I mean, like, there's stuff at the end, and I don't know.
We can. Okay, we have to do Quiet Night.
Yeah, Quiet Night. This is a night for me.
Night. Guys, like, just don't.
Go
to the 90s section on Netflix and go find the 90s
find
movie
something
to watch.
Else. There's, in the comedy section, there's stuff that's way better.
This is so disappointing. I was very, very disappointed.
I know. I had actually high hopes for it. Based on like the marketing and stuff and the idea of people.
And Judd. Mm. Judd was attached to this, so I was, yay.
Yeah. I'm going to. Sorry, I'll get it. I'll keep forgetting to download the app.
I like us doing that so much better. We should do all the sound effects for now.
But the thing is, like, thinking about like the marketing and the idea and stuff, I would have liked to see everyone slowly progress into madness.
Yes.
Coming to like this crazy, like.
I agree with climax. You. I agree with you, but I think then they needed fewer actors. I feel like the cast was too big to actually.
Well, it
give
made
anyone
sense
a story.
For the setting, right? Like an ensemble cast for a franchise.
I would have had more people be then like really they just pop as cameos instead of trying to tell stories for everyone.
Yeah.
Which then makes like the supposed protagonist character's story fall flat.
Yeah.
Because it's like they're trying to focus on every single person.
Yeah. And then every time they had to quarantine, it was just a music montage of them all going tatty. And then they sort of carry on. And then the security guy who has to watch them comes in.
Yeah. What's his name? Something Best. Mr. Best.
Mr. Best. And then they shoot Leslie Mann's hand off.
That was so fucked up. Like. Just why?
Yeah.
I didn't understand the point of it. I feel like the whole point was to just make fun of how they would shoot the film going forward.
Look, there's ways, there's moments where it felt like they. Do you remember a film, A Fish Called Wanda and like Fierce Creatures?
Yes.
Which is like this heavy ensemble cast, but they work so well together and things are going crazy. There's unbelievable things happening, but. It all works in the tone and everything.
But you see, it's almost like there's a clear idea of what I want of my cast. Yeah. There's a clear idea of who my leads are, like Kevin Klein. And
because it's all like misunderstandings and you know what I mean? That's what drives it. And then I felt like, okay, there's moments where they wanted it to be kind of like that. But then they went
but
over
then it pivots.
The top. Yeah, and then
it just pivots to a different thing. Because they, like you said, almost like the side characters are the more interesting characters.
Yeah.
That story would have been more interesting to have them. Like, all these famous people are just doing cameos, which, I mean, there's a fuck ton of weird cameos in this movie.
Yeah.
I would have just had that as the thing. Like, these famous people are popping in and out in relation to the film. Mm. And the story is about these people trying to deal with that.
Yeah, man.
I feel like that would have just been a lot more interesting.
You could have done way more things. Like, We have bit more interesting ideas than, I mean, not that we are fucking smart by any measure.
No, but still.
To make an engaging movie, I think it should have just been more focused. I will say my big laugh came with James McAvoy.
Yeah. Why are you running?
I thought that was fucking hilarious.
It captures him perfectly.
Karen Gillan is like booking it because it's now the end and she's trying to escape. Yeah. And James McAvoy is just walking on set and she's running and he's like, hey, why are you running? Hey, why are you running? And then he starts fucking booking it. And she's just like, why are you running?
And she's just like, why are you chasing me? And then he tackles her and she's like, why did you just do that? And we dated. Like, and he doesn't know who she is.
And then he fakes a phone call.
Yeah, with his head.
Yeah, and then he also says that he hates that everyone just thinks of him as Professor X.
Yeah.
Which is also funny. So that was my best bit.
I actually have like a question mark section of my notes. One is John Lithgow. Why? John Cena. Why? Mm. And James McAvoy. Why?
Why?
Like, did he, why?
Was this actually filmed during
COVID? No, it's a fairly recent movie. It wasn't actually filmed during that, like, the
I mean, it felt
COVID.
Like it to have those cameos.
Yeah, that does. Like, they just zoomed them in because they could.
Yeah.
What I felt was weird is that despite all the focus on like early COVID, there was no reference to Tom Hanks or Rita Wilson. His wife getting COVID.
Ooh, Abby's
remember gonna, when they were in Australia?
Abby's going to fuck me up for that now. Because I made the mistake of commenting that I think Rita Ora is attractive.
I love Rita Ora.
You need to calm down. You're going to get me into trouble. Because now every time
you, me and Taika,
she's just
us.
Like, oh, yeah, you bricked up for Rita Ora. Anyway.
Has she seen Rita, though?
Look, she's very attractive, Jody. I'll say that. And that's all I'll say. But again, there's a moment there which I thought was quite funny, which is her putting pressure on him to finish the movie.
Mm.
And then her going to her boss and saying, look, we're going to need more time. And he's like, get it done.
And then he goes to his boss. Yeah.
I mean, but then it fizzled out with her. Oh, you're on the same island.
Let's go play tennis.
But that would have been funny to show who actually pulls the strings.
The ultimate, yes. Exactly. I thought there'd be a big reveal of like some ultimate.
Some corporation or something. Like. But again, missed opportunity. And I think that's what he was trying to do. I think he was trying to be, what is that other comedic director that pivoted to like, political stuff.
Yes, who directed the
one movie we spoke about recently.
Don't Look Up.
Yes. Don't Look Up, man. Yeah, you can do it, bruh. He's rusty, guys.
Adam McKay.
Adam McKay. I think he was trying to do something like that.
So he's like, he's
sort of satire with like a revealing how ridiculous this business is and the people in it.
I get that, right?
But the execution is so trash.
It's just horrible. Like, again, Pedro Pascal is, honest to God, I don't know what he's trying to achieve in this role.
Mm.
David Duchovny didn't have Liz. Keegan-Michael Key as the pseudo
but they started that cult thing and then it was just nothing.
Like, in the end, he's like, I'm not really, I don't know what it's about because I didn't really write the book.
Yeah, he's admitting, like, okay, he didn't really, but like, that could have paid off a bit
more.
To
what end?
And you forgot about Fred Armisen.
The weirdo director.
Yeah, the weirdo director.
Yeah, directed a Sundance movie with his phone on his iPhone 6.
Which is also could have been funny because they're constantly giving indie directors big budget movies when they do one film and expect them to be great all the time.
Yeah, it's the Marvel model, basically.
Yeah, which works for the most part, but sometimes not so much.
So, again, they're trying to say a lot here, but like you keep saying, the execution is just, it's so meh. It's so totally lacks focus.
I would actually like to see like a Adam McKay version of this film.
But Adam McKay from a few years ago.
Yeah, because Don't Look Up also.
Like Big Short Adam McKay. I'd like to see.
Oh yeah.
My laugh out loud moment was right at the end where the guy's like, I haven't been sending this stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're doing.
So he takes everybody's fucking sample to be tested, and he didn't actually send
it. Not once. He's just like, I don't know where you send it to.
is another funny moment where he's like, yeah, you can't physically, like flirting, you can't physically flirt with each other, but you can make like flirtatious eyes. Yeah,
yeah. And he just, he,
there's a solid like 30 seconds
of him just doing eye flirting. Which he does so well. Like, honestly.
He does it so well. Brilliant. The other guy as well, Bondo. What's his name? In the movie? Bombo or something.
Yeah.
When he goes to fetch Canon Gillen and he's like,
maybe please wash.
You should have a shower.
Have a shower. Please wash because it gets after quarantine.
And he's like, it's stinking, I mean, yeah.
That is funny because he's like, he shows her the room and then he's like, okay, see you in 14 days.
Yeah. Yes,
first montage.
I would watch a fucking show with the two of them, honestly.
I would. The other what the fuck moment for me was Daisy Ridley.
Shame.
Yo, I felt so bad for her.
Oh, yeah, you did too.
Yo, I felt so bad for her.
I felt really bad. I was like, why? I know why, but also why? Yeah.
Dude, that was just so sad.
It was a strange sequence also. Like, yeah. He takes drugs and he's so horny and he wants to...
Pedro Pascal. Man.
Yeah, Pedro Pascal. And there's a fitness instructor. It's like a smart mirror with a fisting... Fisting.
And there is going to be some fisting.
Fisting instructor. Because it's not as easy as you think. So you do need a fitness instructor. And Daisy Ridley pops up and I'm like, oh, fuck, man. This is after Star Wars and that other cuck movie with Tom Holland. But Tom Holland's thriving and she's not.
Yeah.
Fucking well. I assume I feel cuck. She must do indie cuck now.
She has to. Mm. And I just hope she comes back and people forget that they hated her for being Rey and all that cuck. Whatever, man.
But on the other side of it, it was nice to see Maria Bakalova pitch up somewhere else.
It was, but...
I mean, this is a cuck movie, but...
It was nice to
and
see
I say, her. I'm glad she's getting American work.
But I feel like she's wasted.
She's wasted.
I mean, she was our favorite Borat 2 character. Yeah, yeah. And she's just completely wasted in this whole thing. That's so much waste. So much like people were just brought together for no reason at all. At some points, I felt like I would have rather seen Cliff B6.
Yeah.
I was like invested in
Make that movie.
Make that movie. Like, show me what's happening there.
That was actually... Also very good. The moments when they were filming Cliff Beast and the ridiculous dialogue in the films and everyone playing this character.
There's the man doing like an Arkansas accent. Yeah. Whatever that is.
That was really good.
And those two guys who are the dinosaurs. The dinosaurs. Like that. Have you seen my script? Yeah, man. And then it's over 2 hours.
That is but that's a Judd Apatow thing, man.
I don't even know how it got there.
That's a Judd Apatow thing. His runtimes are always too long. Always. It's like, why? Why doesn't he cut things?
You know, the only thing that made me laugh of Pedro Pascal was the toilet humor. Where Bongo is, he's like, hold my hair.
Oh, yes. He's got short fucking hair, but he demands this bra holds his hair while he vomits.
And then he flips to like take a shit
and holds his hair.
Literal toilet humor was the stuff making me laugh in this movie.
Yeah. No, but John Apatow needs an editor, a really good editor to work with.
And I feel like Netflix also as a production
company. Yeah, Jody.
They just have to get an identity.
We're not
going to
get that sponsorship, my friend. You are fucking burning up a bridge here
for us. But they do some good things, like Roma and How Do They Fall as well. It's like they are things that have, and Power of Drug that came out recently.
Mm.
Like, there are things that they do that are good where it feels like they're not just doing derivative stuff.
Yeah.
But there's too much of that derivative bullshit movies that are all just like it could basically fit in like 2005 comedy section at the video shop.
Oh yeah,
just stop doing that.
Stop it. That's right, Netflix. We're talking to you. All right. Also, give us some money.
Well, just give it to us.
Yeah, we'll promote. We'll change our tune real quick if you give us some money.
We have no standards. We will flip the switch. Just like that.
Send it to us, bruh. So, yeah, that's all I can say about this film. You're right. It was a waste. It was a good idea, poorly executed.
100% agree.
Waste of money.
Mm.
So, have you had any shout-outs?
Well, I do want to give a shout out to fellow podcasters this week, actually.
Okay.
Casual Talk Podcast has released. He's actually got two episodes out now.
Hey!
Well done. We were, peer pressure was heavy there.
We thought you weren't going to make it. No, I'm kidding. I knew you were going to make it.
We had faith.
Yeah, I'm glad we kind of helped in forcing you to do it.
Yeah.
So just do it.
Just keep doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Just keep going. Also, Skinnerbeck Podcast.
Mm.
Also, Cape Townian, three Those, ladies from Cape Town.
Rambunctious ladies from the Skinnerbeck Podcast.
Yeah. They're more sweary than us.
Yeah, they are more sweary than us. And we're pretty sweary. But I don't know if that's a selling factor, but I enjoy it.
Yeah.
So go check them out.
Go check it out, guys. Yeah, man, fellow podcasters from Cape Town, we want you guys to do well. So
oh,
yeah. Keep putting out that content.
For reals. POC.
Yeah.
And your machen, which is, we belong to POC, if you don't know.
POC Podcast.
POC Podcast.
Go check it out.
Go check it out. listen on somebody's. What's the other one? Open Wide Side.
Open Wide Side.
And then Aisha Baker. Yeah, we baked. Big time.
Yeah.
Baked Podcast with Aisha Baker.
Guys.
We have not been in the same room, but we know someone who knows her.
Exactly. Same thing.
Same thing. So, Jody, if someone wanted to find us, where could they find us?
Go and find us on Instagram, Bicycle Brasso Podcast on Instagram, and on the TikToks, Bicycle Brasso Podcast on the TikToks. Slide into the DMs, guys. Let us know what you thought of these movies and keep giving us ideas and send us those nice messages.
Oh, yeah. Stay safe, everyone. Safe, Jody.
Safe, Brasso.